So like we said, my name's Kevin, and on Youth Sunday, I often get to speak, and I'm very excited to be with you here this morning and get to share. I knew I was going to be speaking, and I was looking ahead to where I thought we were going to be in James. I thought I was going to be preaching on patience, and I actually really like patience. That's a virtue that like I've thought about a lot in my life, and I was at home one night. And I got a message from one of our pastors saying, Kevin, you're actually going to be preaching on James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And at first I was like, two verses? I love two verses. So much easier to study and prepare for. Love that. And then I read the title, and it says, do not judge each other. And I was like, oh, no. And I said to my wife, I was like, I'm preaching on not judging each other. And she looked at me and she said, well, you do a lot of that. And she said to me, maybe you can learn something by preaching a sermon on it. And so my wife is amazing. I love her. And there's people in our lives that get to call us out on things one time, from time to time. And I'm thankful to have Christina for that. And I have really enjoyed preparing for this message. In fact, I was at Trinity this week. I was doing a little bit of prep and research for today. And I bumped into a friend on campus there. We were just chit-chatting, and he said, oh, what are you preaching on this week? And I said, judging. And he was like, you are so lucky. Judging people is my favorite. He's like, I am so good at it. And I think that, like, we can giggle and laugh about this, but it's actually kind of true. Like, we kind of like judging each other. We kind of like criticizing or calling people out or saying things that we don't like about others. There's something like kind of in us that actually enjoys this. And it's kind of like this festering thing that can actually just feel silly. And sometimes we just kind of pass it off as like, oh, it's no big deal. But as we're going to hear about today in our verses, that judging each other, that often involves slander. And that is about tearing people down. And today we're going to talk about that judging each other, being slanderous towards other people, is actually a pretty big deal and something that we need to take seriously. So I'm just curious. As Christians, we do have a bit of a reputation as being judgmental. And so if we were going to talk about things that Christians judge each other about, I'm going to ask for audience participation. I am a youth pastor, and so I like to. So what are some things that we typically judge each other for? I'm going to get us started, and then I'm just going to ask you to shout some out. So, like, we can judge each other for, like, what kind of media we consume, what movies we watch or artists that we listen to. We can judge each other for the kind of clothes that we wear, the way we present ourselves. What are some other things that Christians judge other Christians about? What kind of car you drive? Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm just going to camp on this one for a second. Because I'm a youth pastor, and I love my job, and I drive an old junky car, okay? And it's been broken a lot this year, like a lot. And I have to say that when I'm at work or I'm at youth, and a student pulls up driving a brand new car, I get like, I'm like, oh, this isn't fair. Their parents shouldn't buy them that or shouldn't let them drive that. And I can actually get really angry and judgmental and start to criticize and slander those people in my heart or in my mind. And then this week, because I do that all the time, this week I was reminded that about 6 months before I turned 16, my dad bought a brand new truck. And my dad drove to work and back and was home by 4 o'clock every day and went nowhere else. And I had a brand new truck when I was 16 years old from 4 o'clock until whenever I got home and every weekend. And I was that kid that I'm so mad at right now. And so anyway, cars is a good one. What's something else that we judge each other for? Jobs, what kind of jobs we have. Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's keep going. Let's just throw some out there. I won't tell a long story about each one, I promise. About keeping the commandments. How holy does that person look? Are they doing things that are breaking those commandments? How spiritual is that person? Yeah, what else? Your clothes, how you dress, how fashionable you are, or even like modesty. Is that too immodest or is that too modest? Is that too fancy? Is that not fancy enough? I actually asked Matthew, I was like, when you preach, are you supposed to wear a collared shirt? And I was like, I don't know, am I going to get judged for wearing it? Anyway, so, sorry, another story. I said I wouldn't do that. Anything else that you can think of? How you raise your kids. That's a huge one. And we're going to talk about that one a little bit later, but Yeah, that's a big one. That's a good parent or a bad parent. I would not let my kid do that, and neither should you, so you are a horrible mother. And that's like, honestly, the conversation that goes on in people's minds sometimes. Sorry, there's one more over here. What type of phone you have? Are you Apple? Are you Android? Yeah, we judge each other based off of these things. And so we actually can be fairly judgmental. And I think that one thing that I've noticed in prepping this is that in James's time, in the Bible, it talked a lot about like the rich looking down on the poor. And I still think that that happens, that people can be judged for not maybe having as much material wealth or possessions. But I think that today we also flip that the other way, where people who don't have very much can be judgmental towards people that do and say that as a Jesus follower, you shouldn't have a house that's that big or drive a car that's that new or shouldn't have that type of material possession. And I think that we can actually be judgmental in both ways there. Another way that we judge each other, I think we can actually judge other churches. And we can say that that church isn't spiritual enough or that church, their Sunday service is too much of a production. Or it's too low budget, or it's the preaching isn't very good. I don't like that worship. That worship is not very, that doesn't lead me in worship. And that we can be judgmental towards other churches. And I've done this, but I think some of us here have as well. When people come to North Langley and they talk to me and they say, oh, and I often it comes up what church they went to before if they're new. And then often what happens is, I used to go to that church. Here's why I didn't like it. And they start telling me why they still don't go to that church. And I actually think that like what James is telling us or will be telling us today is that's wrong. That if we end up at York's Inn or Walnut Grove or a church down the road, let that just be awesome. We don't have to put down other churches in order to justify why we're attending the church that we are. York's Inn is beautiful and wonderful, but we don't have to criticize any other congregation for not being York's Inn. And I think that that's something that's really stuck out to me through this passage. So let's read this together. It's only two verses. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. And it says, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. Now, I am a huge fan of simple and easy and like, let's not overcomplicate things because I often overcomplicate things. But we could stop here and this is it. If you don't remember anything else, just remember this. Do not judge your brothers or sisters. Don't slander one another. And I think too often we make excuses and we try and make things more complicated and we add excuse and we say, well, this person shouldn't have that. It's not fair. And here's why. And that we actually start to slander them and tear them down, say they don't deserve it or maybe it was a gift or that kid shouldn't have gotten that car because he didn't earn it. He's 17 years old, right? And we start to slander other people. Or we say, it's not fair because this person was so awful or so mean. It's okay for me to speak poorly of them or to say slanderous things about them because they're just an awful person that have been so mean and rude. And James is actually saying, no, stop it. Stop slandering one another. Stop judging one another. Just don't do it. And anyway, let's keep reading. So James chapter 4 says, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister judges them and speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Again, I love the simplicity of this. Who are we to judge our neighbors? Now, it's really important to talk about or to mention here that this is a passage that's talking about in-house relationships. We're not talking about how we talk to the non-Christian world or the non-believing world or friends at work that maybe believe something different than us. This is actually how church people are supposed to treat church people. How you're supposed to treat people within your family at home. How we're supposed to treat each other here at York's Inn on a Sunday morning, and the way we're supposed to treat the church down the road, and the church that's in Malawi, and that this is actually talking about how we treat other believers. So as we get into this, I actually think it raises a question, because if we're not supposed to judge one another, there's another word that we often use It's a nicer word than judging, where we say, okay, I'm not judging that person, I'm discerning. And I think that discerning is a good Christian word that we like to use, and I think it's a good thing that's talked about in the Bible. But I think that we need to distinguish the difference between discernment and judgment. So, like I said, I'm using the NIV. The NLT uses the word, do not criticize your brothers or sisters, or you are judging them. The ESV says, do not speak evil against your brothers or sisters, or you're judging them. Other words are like verbal attacks, or gossip, or cues. And these aren't discerning words. These are judgmental words. They are condemning words. So I want to use a quick little illustration. So let's just pretend that you are redecorating your home. And you want it to look beautiful and nice, and you have the means. And so you decide you're going to hire an interior designer to help you decorate your home. So you go to the interior designer's office, and you walk into their office. And the first thing you think is, I hate this design. This office is not decorated nice at all. I don't like the color scheme. I don't like the art. I don't like the way things are laid out. I don't like anything about it. So at the end of your meeting, you're going to decide not to go ahead with that interior designer because you don't like their style. Now, when you talk to someone else about that particular interior designer, there's a few ways you could go with your conversation. I'm going to give us three things. We're going to talk about what a slandering statement would look like, what a judgmental statement would look like, and what a discerning statement would look like. So a slandering statement would be to say something like, this person is a joke. They're probably colorblind. In fact, my toddler knows more about color palettes than they do. And so like this is like tearing someone down and being disrespectful and undercutting them. In fact, slandering is like a false or subjective statement that is damaging to a person's reputation. Because if I said those things to someone else that was looking for an interior designer, they wouldn't go to that person because we have just damaged their reputation. We've spoken ill of them. Now, a judging statement would be if you were to say, this person shouldn't be allowed to design anything. You've now made a judgmental, definitive decision, declaring something that is undisputable. You're not saying, I don't think they should. You're saying, they should not be allowed to do this. They're horrible at their job. When in fact, they might be really good at their job, just in a very different style than what you want in your home. But a discerning statement would be something like, I don't like this person's taste. I am going to choose a different interior designer. Because a discerning statement is actually thoughtful and perceptive decision-making based in wisdom and understanding. And discerning does not involve undercutting someone or using hurtful or painful or slanderous words toward them. Now, in all three of these scenarios, you're going to find a different interior designer. But the way you have now handled that person's reputation is very different. And what James is saying to us is that we can't slander other believers. We can't tear down and pull apart people in our own family. We're actually called to be discerning people, but we're called to not let that turn into judgment or slanderous statements. And it's really important that we get this difference. That's why I'm spending a bit of time on it. Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs so much. Proverbs 3:21 says, my child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them. Proverbs 8 says, I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. So discernment is a beautiful and godly thing. But I do honestly believe that James is suggesting that we need to understand the difference between discernment and slanderous judgmental statements. Because I think a lot of times in church we can say, oh, I'm being discerning, but really we're tearing someone down. We're saying, I'm choosing not to do this or do what that other person is doing, and because it's wrong and they shouldn't be doing it either because I'm more discerning than they are. When really we're actually just being judgmental. And we're being critical. And then that so quickly turns into slander. So I've been tired the last like month. I feel like I'm just more tired than usual. And when I get tired, if you know people that I like, my family or people I work with, they know I get grouchy when I'm tired. And I'm not that I'm so nice, but I'm less nice when I'm tired. And so the other night, I think like this week, I was at home and I was having a conversation with my two teenage sons and they were annoying me because they were not doing what I wanted them to do and they were like, it just wasn't going well. And they left the room and Christina, my wife, looked at me and said, the same one who said I was super judgmental, she looked at me and said, Kevin, you need to smile at our children more. And I was like, to be honest, I was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's true. She was like, you are entering into this conversation, and before the conversation even started, you had the attitude it was going to turn into a fight. And I was not using discernment. I was using judgment. And I was entering that conversation being like, you haven't done what I want you to do, and so this is a problem. And I'm sure I said some things that weren't nice. And so I think it's so important that we understand the difference between discernment and judgment. I read some articles, and here are some things that I found to kind of distinguish between judgment and discernment. Discernment is listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit, who aligns us with biblical truth and kingdom values, where judgment is about listening to your own voice and seeking control and uses fear and manipulation to get what it wants. Discernment shares power, where judgment attempts to covet power. Discernment says, we're all walking on a journey with Jesus. Judgment says, I know where you should be on your journey with Jesus. Discernment is about building health, where judgment tears down because its goal is to be right, and in order to be right, needs to make someone else wrong. And discernment is based in qualities like accountability, humility, and love, where judgment is based in aggression and anger and blame and shame. Judgment continually recreates the past over and over again and brings up past hurts and wrongs and mistakes. Discernment thinking opens the door to new possibilities. Having a discerning opinion is like walking into a room and not liking the decor. Perhaps you point out that it's not your taste. Walking into the same room with judgment means you ridicule, shame, and put the owner down for not having proficient decorating skills. So church, we are called to be a discerning people, but the downside of that is that we can so easily turn that into judgment, and judgment carries with it slander. So what is so dangerous about slander? What is so dangerous about judgment? The last couple of weeks, we've been in the first 10 verses of James chapter 4, and it's been all about coveting. And in the verses about coveting, one of the statements that came out in one of the messages was that coveting is longing for or wanting something that isn't yours to possess. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's a longing for or wanting something that isn't yours to possess. But here's where judging fits into this, and this is why the last couple weeks and this week are so closely tied together, is that if I know I'm not allowed to covet what you have, and I know that it's not mine to have, so it's wrong for me to covet it, then what my next response is I'm going to start making reasons why you shouldn't have it either. Because if I want it and you've got it and I'm not allowed to have it, well, then you probably shouldn't either. And I think that we can so quickly do that, where it's like, I long for this thing, I want this thing, and you have it. It's not fair that you have it. You don't deserve it, you didn't work hard enough for it, and then we start to make excuses, and those excuses are actually slanderous and tearing other people down. So this week, and what James is doing here in chapter 4 is really building on each other. And so slander might sound kind of silly, and we can joke about it. I love judging people. But really, it's a dirty, painful thing that can cause a lot of pain. And it's actually been a big deal for a long time. If we go back to Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 19, it says, "Do not go about spreading slander among your people." Again, this is in-house. This is the church. This is the family of God. And then in the next couple verses later, it says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone else among your people," our church, "but love your neighbor as yourself." That's where Jesus got the greatest commandment. I am the Lord. Things like revenge, holding grudges, slander, these things are in direct opposition to what God calls his children to be. So this isn't just a little thing that we can just kind of tuck away. I want to read our text again because it's so good and so direct. "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" Now, there are lots of reasons why slander and judging are bad. It's actually against a lot of slander people. But the main thing that James is talking about is he's saying that it's putting yourself outside of the law that we are supposed to actually be under. So it works like this. If this is the law, and the law is right here, as Jesus followers, we're supposed to submit to that law. We're supposed to come underneath it for guidance and direction, to know what is right and what is wrong, and how to treat one another, and how to live according to how God wants us to live. We live underneath the law. But a judge doesn't live under the law. If we start judging other people, we actually are removing ourselves from being under the law and placing ourselves as an authority in order to properly know and discern and judge and call other people into accountability to the law. And so we're actually removing ourselves from the authority of the law and putting in ourselves in a place of judgment. We're calling ourselves the judge. We are actually saying, we know the law so well, and I know your circumstances so well that I can judge you for what you're doing. And so we take kind of what we know and what we see and what we observe and we apply it to other people. When I was, one of my first sermons way back when I was became a pastor was on the Good Shepherd. I don't know if you have read that story. It's beautiful. It is one of my favorite stories, my favorite analogies of God's love in the Bible. And the story of the Good Shepherd is the Good Shepherd leads his sheep and lays down his life for his sheep and calls his sheep by name and they answer him and the Good Shepherd tends to his sheep. And as a young pastor, I thought to myself, man, I want to be a good shepherd. I want to love my sheep and the people that are in my youth group and in my church the way Jesus does, and I want to be a good shepherd like Jesus. And as I was studying for that sermon, I realized that I had missed the point completely. The point of that story is not for me to be a good shepherd. The point of that story is that there is only one good shepherd, and it's not me. The point of that story is that, Kevin, you're a sheep. Church, we're sheep in this story. We're actually not called to be the good shepherd. That's Jesus' job. That's his job. And so when I'm trying to be the good shepherd, I'm actually taking from Jesus what he is called to do, what his job is, and I'm saying that maybe I can do a better job of it. That sounds insane. Or maybe saying that I don't trust you to do this, Jesus. And so I think that it's important for us to know that in the Bible, we are never called judges. We are never called to judge one another. And so when we start judging our brothers and sisters, we're actually removing ourselves from being under the authority of the law because it straight up says, don't judge each other. And then we're also doing a second sin by taking from Jesus what is his. We're usurping him of his role. We're becoming the judge ourselves, even though we are told that Jesus is the only judge. We're taking from him what belongs to him. We're sheep judging other sheep. And that sounds crazy. Okay, so I am a youth pastor, which means that every talk I do has to include some kind of Marvel reference. And so I'm going to be talking about Marvel Endgame. Okay, this is the one that came out 15 months ago. Has anyone here not seen it yet? Okay, spoiler alert, it's 15 months old, so anyway. Close your ears if you want. But, okay, in Avengers Endgame, there's this guy named Thanos. Okay, Thanos is bad. Say boo. Boo. We don't like Thanos. And so he's the villain, and he's on this tirade to collect these magical stones that are going to give him the power to, in his opinion, save the universe. Okay, there's lots of planets and aliens and people from all over the universe, and he wants to save the universe. Because in his mind, we are destroying the universe by overpopulation and by being a virus that's just like the universe can't sustain the number of living beings in it. It's kind of like if you've seen The Matrix with like Agent Smith and he's like, Mr. Anderson, you are a virus. Anyway, it's kind of like that. And so, sorry, that was really bad. So Thanos decides that living creatures are like a virus, and he needs to wipe them out. So he collects these magic stones, and he puts them in his cool glove. It's called the Gauntlet. And with a snap of his fingers, he pronounces himself to be the judge, jury, and executioner of half of the universe's population. People just turn into dust, and they're gone. and that's it. And in Thanos' mind, he's not trying to create an empire for himself. He's not trying to like make the world or the universe worship him. He's just like, I am trying to do a good thing because the universe can't sustain this. And so he makes himself the one in order to judge that. Now, we can understand what he's trying to do in this movie, but he's also insane, right? Like, okay, I get what you're doing, but that is the wrong way to go about doing it. Now, I've been thinking about this. I'm like, man, Thanos, if only you had had like a town hall forum to discuss this with the Avengers, or if you had like maybe a meeting and you called the Avengers together, or you got different people from the universe. Because if you can, with this gauntlet, like snap your fingers and half of the universe's population is dead, gone, maybe you could like snap your fingers and make all the pollution go away. Like, wouldn't that have been a better option? Or like snap your fingers and make other worlds habitable? Nope, that's not the right word. Habitable, by so that there was more space for everyone. Couldn't you have just made planets? Like, I feel like that if Thanos had taken the time to discern this with more people instead of just being quick to pronounce judgment, there were probably better ways he could have done this. And so, like, honestly, I think that we do things like that, where it's like we know a little bit, we get an idea, and so it's obviously right. Thanos had an idea, so it was obviously the right thing for him to do in his mind. And I think that too quickly, we don't talk to enough people. We don't discern together as a community. And I think that James is saying that we're doing the same thing that Thanos is doing, is that without knowing everything, we remove ourselves from the law and we pronounce judgment over other people. And that's what Thanos is doing, and that's what James is saying that we can't do. We need to stay under the law, under the authority of Jesus, under the direction of the good shepherd and the good judge. James is saying that we can't put ourselves above the law or pronounce judgment on our brothers or sisters. We don't know the intimate details about someone's life circumstances, about why they are in the situation that they are. We don't know the stories or the successes or the failures or the hurts or the disadvantages or the reasons that someone is in the situation they are. And so it is unfair and unright and unjust for us to pronounce judgment on them. That's why it's God's job. It says in Matthew 7, it says, "Don't judge or you too will be judged." See, it's not our job to judge our brothers and sisters. Now, as a church family, sometimes, and I love this, I've had apprentice groups and life groups and accountability groups where I've invited other people to come into my life and where I've tried to discern with them and where we talk about things together. And a beautiful thing about a church is that we often have inner circles where we discern together. And when those people discern with me, they're not judging me, but they do say to me sometimes, "Kevin, that's not a good idea. Kevin, is that keeping in line with what we're taught in the Bible? Kevin, you need to smile at our kids more." Like, there are things in our lives, and so we need to have this inner circle, this inner community that can speak into us. But for me to judge you when I barely know you, or when I know you a little bit, I don't know your circumstances. And I think that that's why we're supposed to leave the judging to Jesus. We need to actually trust God to do God's job. We need to trust him to do his job. Now, okay, so I'm a youth pastor. Anyone can be a youth pastor, right? Like, all you have to do is play some games and know some Bible stories, right? And you would be shocked at how many people, like, okay, let me rephrase this because I'm going to sound like a jerk. How many people have had, like, a supervisor come into your place of work and tell you how to do your job who's never done your job before? They're in management. They don't do what you do, but they come in and they say, "You're doing it wrong. You should do it like this." And you're like, "No, that's not going to work." Or someone comes up to you and they tell you how to parent your kid because their parenting style worked well on their kid. Nope, that's not how it works. We're different. And I think too often we can take what we know about ourselves and apply it to other people. And I think that that's when church gets ugly and messy and no one wants to be in a church like that. And we're called to be a community that is different and weird and unique and not like the world around us, where we don't judge each other, where we don't criticize one another, where we show love and mercy and respect, and we trust God to be the good shepherd and the good judge. So at the beginning, I talked about that this is about how we're supposed to treat each other as Jesus followers. We don't always do that well. But here's a cool thing, is that you and I, we get to decide what kind of church we belong to. We get to decide the culture of our church. And if we want, we can choose for Yorkson to be a church where people walk in and feel judged for the clothes they wear or the car they drive, and we can criticize and tear one another down, and no one wants to go to that church. But we can also be a church that is inviting and invitational, a church that is welcoming, a church that doesn't put each other down, a church that trusts God to be leading your life the same way he leads my life, a church where we trust the good shepherd to be shepherding and guiding and directing and at times rebuking his sheep the same way he does with us, with each other, and that it's not our jobs to tell people what they're doing wrong. Now, I think it's really important here to note that this doesn't mean that Christianity is whatever you want it to be. Okay, there's lots of verses where we do talk about discernment. Now, I think it's really important that we preach and we teach and we know that there is biblical truth, and that is not subjective, and it's not whatever we want it to be. We don't get to do that. But I don't have to take those principles and tell you how that works in your life, that there is a difference. One is discernment, one is judgment. And so that's what I believe that James is challenging us with today. To be a church that trusts Jesus to be the good judge. To trust him and to not slander one another or to tear each other down. A couple of weeks ago, I got to speak at the Father Summer Retreat. Was anyone here at the Father Summer Retreat? I caught a fish, okay? Now, this was the first fish I've caught in my adult life, and it was wonderful. And as a speaker at a Father's Summer Retreat, I was talking about how we are actually made in the image of God. And way back in Genesis 1, we are made in God's image, and God is a creator. And when we read Genesis, we don't read that God, like, went out and got plans and materials and tools and built the world. He spoke the world. And he used his words to create. And as image bearers of God, I believe that we have a lot of power in our words. And because, Uncle Ben, great power comes great responsibility, we need to be careful in how we use our words. And that the words that we use don't slander or tear down or judge our brothers or sisters. But instead, we're using words that give life and hope, and words that are full of mercy and truth and love and humility. James just says to us, stop judging one another. Don't worry about that. Let Jesus worry about that. We're just going to stop that. And I love that it is so easy. Don't judge one another. Don't slander each other. Now, chances are you've had someone judge you or slander you. And you know that that can come with a lot of pain. It can involve shame and hurt. It can involve self-confidence or self-esteem things. And that's not right, and that's not good, because those people aren't your judge. So here's what I want us to do. In a second, we're going to move into a time of prayer, and we're going to have a bit of time doing this. And I'm going to lead us, and there's also going to be a little bit of time. And during that time where it's just silent, I would love for you to spend some time praying to God and maybe asking for forgiveness for ways that you've judged your family, this family, the larger church family. Or also ask for healing for maybe areas in your life where you've been judged unfairly, where people have torn you down or broken you or caused you pain, where you need some healing and some forgiveness from that, and you need to be reminded that that person had no authority and no right to say or speak those powerful words into your life. That was not their job. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'm going to ask you to pray with me. So God, I want to say thank you that you are a good judge, that you are a just judge. God, thank you for being our good shepherd. God, that you guide and you correct and you bind and you chase after. God, thank you for loving us. God, and in my own heart, God, I know there are people that have wounded me and hurt me by words of judgment, by powerful words that have torn me down. God, I pray for myself, and I pray for people in this room that have had unfair and unjust words spoken over us. I pray that you would tear those things down now in Jesus' name, and that you would heal those areas of our lives where maybe we're scared or hurt or broken because of words that people have used on us or behind our backs, God. Help us to be a community that forgives and keeps short accounts, God. God, I also pray for us that we would be able to use words that are encouraging and life-giving. I pray that we would not be a community that is known for slander or for judgment, God, but that we would use discernment. God, that we would trust you to be the one to shape and to mold our brothers and sisters, that we don't have to do that, that it's not our job. Help us to trust you with that. Help us to be a church that doesn't judge. God, we confess that we have judged our family and our friends. God, we confess that we have judged other churches and other communities unfairly, God, in ways that is not right and not fair for us to judge. And so, Lord, we confess that to you and we ask for your forgiveness in Jesus' name. And we thank you that you love us and that you forgive us. And so, God, I pray that we would trust you, our good shepherd, to lead us and to guide us, but also to lead and guide our brothers and sisters and our family, Jesus.